Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny.
Drag is the new spandex.
Hey everyone, it is Drag is the New Spandex Recap Edition. We're so close to taking a break. I can taste it. It's like City Slickers 2, come and get me. I'm here with almost a full house. Well, fuller than it normally would be. I have our illustrious producer, Pat.
Hey, what's going on?
And Eric's joining us.
Howdy, everybody.
And we're here to talk about seasons 10, 10, 10s across the board, the premiere of Drag Race Season X. That's what I'm calling it from now on, Season X.
Like the iPhone?
Like the iPhone. I was going to say like the Malcolm, but because, there are a lot of black queens. I'm so excited. So last time you joined us, I was still very bitter, very, very bitter. Still kind of bitter about the end of All Stars, but it's a new season, brand new queen.
It's been so long that it's almost a distant memory.
Still can't listen to Kitty Girl. I get shakes.
It's your world.
But here we are with a glorious new workroom, which kind of reminds me of the old workroom. In fact, I can barely tell the difference.
What?
I'm teasing.
Oh, my sarcasm meter was turned off. I'm sorry. I forgot we're doing Dragon's New Spandex. Let me turn that right back on.
Yep. Boop, 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 boop.
And we're back.
So here we are, and we have, 10 new queens?
14.
14,
well,
I'm sorry.
Technically, we have 13 new queens.
Yes.
And one girl that came back again.
Uh-huh.
She's okay. Back again.
Back again. Like a phoenix from the ashes who looked like Rock-a-doodle-doo. Like, I'm sorry. She did. I think it looked good on her. You know, I was just like, is she also going to go to Las Vegas and then end up on a farm and she'll learn true life lessons?
I almost wanted her to start doing from Golden Girls, the Henny Penny.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Blanche was in the chicken costume.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Side note, I watched the murder mystery episode last night. Still one of the greatest episodes in television history. When you cackle like 30 plus years later, it's so good.
It holds up very well.
Mm-hmm. But here we are with the first queen who walked into the new room.
Eureka O'Hara.
Hey, girl. Again. See, I was right.
I was going to say, I'm like, you segue right okay. into it. I didn't even have to goad you into it.
You know what? We'll just
look,
cut that
you
out.
Found the track and you stayed on it.
You know, I'm so proud of myself. I think
that wild turkey hasn't hit you yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. Seeing Eureka back makes me happy. Makes me really happy because I like her. She's never been like my favorite, but I've never disliked her at all. I think that she has been a really interesting competitor. And I don't mean that as like any shade at all. I think she's really interesting. I like that she is as brass and as confident as the other girls because, you know, they always do the, I shouldn't say always do. In the past, you feel like they've done like token big girls.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not knocking anybody.
I was like, don't make Latrice come here.
No. That's not knocking anybody who has come through. But
Come through.
But Eureka has always given me that, like, I deserve to be here regardless of what size I am. And it's not an issue for her. She doesn't pull any punches. She goes all out. And that's how she hurt herself.
Right.
So I really was happy to see her.
Yeah, for sure. We didn't get to see enough of her in season 9 to really make an informed decision on how she would have done. I did not enjoy how vocal she was and how on season 9 it felt like she always had to try to be in there. If there was dead air, she had to try to make a joke. It's there a little bit, but it's definitely more tempered and more restrained this time around.
Yeah, I think she was a little more insecure in season 9, and that's why she tried to speak up more to cover up the fact that she was kind of scared about everything. And in this episode, at least, she seemed a little more mellow, even though she had a lot to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. No, 100% agree with you.
Uh-huh. The second queen we had sashay into the workroom
was Ms. Asia O'Hara from Texas.
From Texas.
Dallas.
Which, you know, I love a queen from Texas because they go big. Because they are home. And, like, there's no in-between. I think that she looked... I think she looked good.
Yeah, it was cute. I like the fringe.
Yeah, the fringe.
Yeah. It kind of... It didn't give me rodeo. It gave me glitzy Dolly Parton meets Beyonce.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was a good Christian bitch.
After Asia, we have...
Mills Cracker.
Bob's drag daughter.
Which, you know what? We need to fire our interns because episode after episode, I was led to believe that Monet Exchange.
I know. I'm sorry. I was told that when I was in New York for DragCon, we were in an Uber XL, all 15 of us squeezed into that one little car. Oh, I'm sorry. No, we just take up the space of about 15 people. We some big boned girls. Is that right?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
It was... We were discussing potential queens that may appear on a future season, and Monet had come up as a potential one because of the fact that she was Bob's drag daughter. So that's where I got that information from and was like, oh, okay. And in seeing the teaser for the show before anything came on, it was like, wow, I can definitely see the family resemblance. And I still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see the family resemblance a lot less in Ms. Cracker.
But you know what? But here's the thing. In her genetic DNA, I see it. The quirkiness. Not necessarily like the blatantness of Bob, but the quirkiness is a 100% genetic match. And I'm really excited to see Ms. Cracker. Having said that, the joke where they're like, these Southern queens aren't having it for her name. She gonna have to come up with a nickname or something. Because you never, like, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I have, only because I was watching this old, like, Isaac Hayes-esque movie, but it wasn't Isaac Hayes. It was the other one that wasn't Shaft, and it was on the West Coast. I think it was called Trouble Man, yeah. And
Not Pootie Tang.
And it was, you know, in the 70s, and he was kind of, like, skirting the line. But at one point, he's like, if you don't get it together, I'm going to take it out of your honky ass. And I'm sorry. He's like a really funny word. But, like, I don't really call people, you know, crackers. Like, that's just, that just to me smacks of like poor taste. And if Sherman Hemsley didn't want to do it anymore, well, no, he called people honky. But, you know, sometimes cracker. But, you know, if he didn't want to do it in the 70s, I feel like I don't need to do it in the we're not in the aughts anymore, in the teens. But I think her entrance look really, like, made me smile. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Not, like, ostentatious over the top, but I thought it was cute and really got her across.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Ms. Cracker thing. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I actually liked when she revealed her original name was Brianna Cracker.
Love that.
Yeah.
I wish it still was. Yeah. Because you know she's going to show up at Parliament House sometime. I'm just going to call her Brianna. Like, and be like, Brianna Cracker.
And that's great. The next one we had, and I feel a certain way. Yuha Hamasaki.
You mean the Asian Bianca Del Rio?
Oh.
Who can't tell the difference between the black queens.
Yeah, but that's fine. Because I think she was gorgeous. I think she's really smart. Her, like, getting into it with, like, the other queens. Like, in a fun sort of, like, getting to meet you sort of way, you can tell she's razor sharp and will, like, can do comedy, but also does, like, beauty really well. Also has really long hair.
Yes.
As a boy, and it's just so pretty. And I'm a friend of mine has met her in New York. I'm calling you out, Brandon, and had the opportunity to hook up with her. And I'm like, and you didn't? He's like, I was in a relationship. And I just kind of looked at him and said, so this was a conversation we had today. So, you know, if I could turn back time and become a Puerto Rican twink, I would.
And then Ms. Blair St. Clair.
Girl, who let the 12-year-old into the workroom?
She's so tiny. I'm just like, you know what? Welcome to camp. You know, I'm going to be your counselor. We're in Cabin, Wichita. Like, it's going to be super great. We're all going to have so much fun. Remember, if you're feeling homesick, come talk to me. I'm your buddy. I'm your friend. I promise you, this is going to be the summer of a lifetime. Welcome, campers, and welcome to you, Blair St. Clair.
She's just so pure. And
oh, but she not pure.
Oh,
wait till the DQ comes up. Listen.
You know what? I totally forgot.
Yes.
Because I thought it was the one from Tennessee.
No.
But you right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was our first look at season 10 was mm-hmm. when that broke in early October.
Yes.
Because we were actually sitting at a gas station getting ready to drive to Potomac Curling Club. Mm-hmm. And that's when the article broke about the fact that Blair St. Clair was wanted because you violated her probation from her DUI arrest.
Mm.
So that's going to be an interesting turn halfway through the show.
But you know, I want to see what Blair can do before the marshals show up.
What would have been fantastic is if they actually just arrested her on the runway and they kept it in the show.
As someone who likes Golden Era Hollywood, for the artifice, she's playing it straight, and that's fine. She's the ingenue. She is, you know, all about Eve. I get it. But she gonna have to step her pussy up and then find her Thelma and live life on the lam.
And yeah. Then Bob's former alleged drag daughter, Monet Exchange. She's actually a fraternity brother of mine.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh.
Not same chapter, but same fraternity.
Yeah, I know how fraternities work.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever slept with a frat, but I tried to sleep with a lot of your brothers. I'm not gonna lie. That's not true. I would sleep with a lot of them, but I haven't. That I know. Ooh.
Check the receipts.
You know, one's a little faded. It's been in the car for a while. So let's just move it along. So, you know, Monet, how did we feel?
I loved this entrance. Yes. From top to bottom. When she walked into the room in the jumpsuit with the broom and then rip that off for the bodysuit and the very Rosie the Riveter feel.
Yes.
I was fucking sold.
Which to me, that actually gave credence to the whole rumor about her being Bob's drag daughter, because I could see that being a very Bob outfit.
Oh my God, I'm pretty sure Bob has done something like this before.
You gag for gag's sake.
Yeah, I'm totally Team Monet.
Mm-hmm.
And then Butch Queen, Cameron might...
The trade of the season, please. Let's call it what it is. She the trade of the season. Cameron Michaels. From Nashville.
From Nashville. When I saw, I think it was BuzzFeed, did an article. They're like, look at this. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, where's she from? Who is you? Now, you know, it just makes me, I was like, maybe I should go to the gym. You know, maybe I won't, I may never achieve those lofty Olympic goals, but a bitch can try. I will say this. She a bit of a brick. That's not her fault. That's not her fault. I think she looked really gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever you're like a butch queen and you go sleeveless.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you gonna look like a man.
But I think that's a conscious choice she's making.
Agreed. But she look like a man.
Yes.
That's a man, Maury.
Next up, we have Mayhem Miller.
I didn't know who Mayhem Miller was, but Mayhem Miller has been one of the queens that every season there is a huge internet swell that is either saying she is going to be on the show or wants her to be on the show. And come to find out that she comes from a long line of Drag Race royalty.
Yeah.
She is in the same house as Delta, as Detox, and many of these other girls that have slayed. Morgan, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. I knew there was one I was missing that was very
they're
recent
like,
to our
they're
minds.
They're like best friends out in LA.
I know. I was like, ooh, where's Kylie in this?
And I actually wasn't overly impressed with her entrance look. It was a pretty gown, but I was just, it didn't speak to me.
It spoke to me. She gave me Dynasty.
Yes.
That's what I got from it. And like, once I saw it, I'm like, yes. Yeah, she gave me Dominique. Yeah, I could see this. She sips the champagne. She's like, burnt.
Yeah, there wasn't much to really say about it. I mean, she looked gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't out of the box, over the top, memorable.
So I was a little worried from it that it was going to be a lot of Kennedy drag.
Yeah,
coming in and
very much.
Very,
I mean, it's
very straight pageant.
Yeah, it's very much in that same vein. But I think, and we'll get to this when we got to the runway. You got to see a different, more creative side of Mayhem than she showed in her entrance look.
Very much.
Uh huh. After Mayhem, we have Calorie Kardashian Williams.
Kardashian.
I thought it
That's my favorite part about it. It's the
Calorie Kardashian.
I like bread.
I think that she is a gorgeous queen. She's serving you fish. It's a heartier fish. But it's beautiful. It's snatched. And I like that she's like, I'm a big girl. I'm from New Mexico. And she's here to take the crown. Like, I feel it in her. She wants to win.
I agree. I did not love the entrance look. I like the boots. The knee-high, like, denim boots.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But that bodysuit was not giving me, I'm here to slay this competition.
Agree. You know what? Because when I'm thinking of her, I'm thinking about the end of the episode.
Oh, for sure.
So you're right.
But like, from an entrance look standpoint, her face, she was giving me face. She was giving me absolute face. But she just seemed, it felt way too understated or way too amateur of an entrance look compared to the rest of the queens for season 10.
Gotcha, yeah.
And I will just say this. Brian made a point of mentioning that he was feeling a bit of Tulita in Calorie. And I was like, I can kind of see it.
I can kind of see it. Yeah.
A little bit.
For those of you who don't know who Tulita is, that's my drag persona when I do it annually at our employee turnabout at Parliament House, which takes place the third week of July. So if you know me and you've never seen me do drag, all money raised goes to a good cause. So come on out and see it. It's interesting.
If you ever want to see what Pat's mama looked like, come see 2 liter Pepsi.
Seriously.
Like, as soon as you walked out, I'm just like, that's his mother. I've never seen a picture of his mama, but that's him in drag.
The best was when I actually texted my mother a picture and was like, I have to show you this. Like, yeah.
Oh, gosh. After Calorie, we have
Monique Hart.
Yes. Who I love how loud she is, because I can get behind a loud queen. I can. And I thought she looked sickening.
Yeah, I love this like gold, almost like gold leaf makeup.
Yes.
It's very interesting, and it worked with what could have been a very not fashion forward outfit, but with the stones and the sparkle, and it was so understated, but it worked. Like, when you can have an outfit on that people just think, oh, this is kind of whatever, and then you hit the right light and all of a sudden it sparkles and shimmers and shines, uh-huh. Like, and you get that wow factor. I got it from Monique, and I really did. I dig the entrance look.
What did you think, Eric?
I thought it was good. I almost wish it had been like a metallic material, so it could would have given some actual like jingle jangle to it as she moved. I think that would have been a neat touch. Obviously, it doesn't come across in any way for us as an audience through TV, but I think that would have been a neat addition to it.
Next up, we have Dusty Ray Bottoms, which I think is a really funny name.
It is fun.
I'm sorry. It tickles me so much. Who's kind of giving you like punk rock greaser.
Yeah, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't really stand out to me. I don't think she looks bad at all. I would never say that. But it doesn't really stand out to me.
It gives me a lot of Sharon Needles with a big white wig and the black lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
I did dig her 212 earrings.
Yes.
That was cute. I'm like, if you want to give me some New York flavor, give me some New York flavor. And I did like her kind of goth punk. I don't love the dots. It was a lot more understated in this entrance look than we saw later in the episode. But I didn't. I was not mad at Dusty Ray.
Mm-mm.
Or Ms. Bottoms, if you're nasty.
Oh, I hope she is.
I actually kind of like the idea of dots for eyebrows. But I hope she does rein back the dots all over her face a little bit.
Oh, if she doesn't, she's going to get red for Phil.
Every week.
Oh, yeah.
And so next, she's from Chicago.
I came to fight.
Were you sure? I couldn't tell if she was from Chicago or not.
You have the Vixen, who I went to school with girls like the Vixen, and it never ended up well for them. And you didn't see them for the bulk of a semester at a time because they were always in ISS. That's who the Vixen is.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And you know, like while she's like, you know, I do a lot of like protest, you know, drag protests and stuff like that. That's cool, but you look like a postcard, but from like the cheap bin. Like, it's the 99-cent postcard as opposed to the, like, $3.99 postcard. Yeah, it's pretty much, like, 8 times the price of the shipping and the paper is printed on. But you know you at least get a nice one.
Right. It reminded me a little – well, I mean, it seemed like she was doing that first challenge from season 9 where they had to come out during the pageant as representing their city that they were from.
And she's like, if Shea Coulee can put a damn hot dog on her head, I can put horns and the city skyline and the Chicago sign and this and everything else from the
city
on me.
We saw everything but the bean.
But at least Shea Coulee's hot dog didn't fall apart.
Oh, it's season 10. Glue gun that shit together.
Oh my God. We'll get to that because you.
I know. I'm excited.
I don't understand how you make it to season. Learn how to hot glue and sew. You know, this is the look that people will remember you for. How, if you don't stand out, how the hell you, never mind, or I'll just let it go.
All right. Go. Now, my favorite, no, really not my favorite of the queens, Ms. Vanessa Vanji Mateo.
Yes.
Of the Bam! House of Mateo.
The House of Mateo. I love a Vanji bitch. I do. I like Vanessa's attitude, but
I can't stand anything else about her.
No,
oh, sorry,
she's very
just
cute as a boy, but there's something about her makeup that reads porcelain. That's what it is. She paints herself too pale. Mm. And it's, you know, if she's going to be this, like, fiery, bangy person, you need to look like you have, like, blood in your cheeks. And I think she came across as, there's a difference between being matted and then being matte. And she was matte and not matted.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I thought she looked, you know, like, her entrance look, I liked.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. The whole cage feel to it.
You know what it gives me?
Huh?
Detox from All Stars 2. Oh. The promo photos that they did for All Stars 2, she had not so much in the cage, but like if you actually put cloth around it, it gave me very much Detox with that. Like I felt very Detox. I felt very All Stars 2 with this silhouette and this kind of vibe.
I can see that.
And she can contour her damn cheeks because I'm looking at this close up of her face and she's just round. Which is a theme for her in this episode. But she's got very little contouring of the cheeks. I'm like, give me some contour, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And number 14, we're almost at the end of these workroom looks.
Oh, my God. The final queen is... Da-da-da-da... Aquaria.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquaria.
I really hope not.
All right, let's talk about this look. Because I have some thoughts. Would you like me to start with thoughts, or do you have thoughts of your own you would like to put
please,
in first?
Please start.
Okay.
Please
start. So first off, and I may catch shit for it, but I don't care. I'm tired of boy body and boy chest and basically wearing nothing on it. And this is this will come up again in the runway, but this belt around your chest, and apparently I've seen like other looks. Not a lot of them, but I've seen other ones that have that same feel, and I'm like, are you going to show me something else? Because so far, I'm not getting a lot of different from Aquaria. Mm. That's my first thing. And, you know, give me some contour or some boobs. It's about illusion. Just give me some sort of contour. Give me a little bit. Because even Cameron Michaels, with the rough trade that he was, I still at least felt, you know, some boobage.
Yes.
My second thing is, with that wig, you giving me boy hair.
Yeah.
On the sides.
Yeah.
No. With that kind of hair, when you're giving me that illusion of, like, long hair into this big, like, mohawk, you can't give me that much side that's shaved down like that. I didn't like it.
I see where it's coming from. I see it. And I want to appreciate it, but it's just something doesn't quite connect for me. Because I should love that aesthetic. That aesthetic is very, like, aggressive 80s.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's not, I don't think it conveys the way it should have conveyed. Where, like, there's, in that sort of, like, rage, there's a beauty. And it's not that it wasn't beautiful. It's not that you didn't get the rage. It's that there was no circuitry to close the system. And like had it been, I guess, a little more refined, it may have worked for me. But I think that then that defeats the purpose of being really raw.
Yeah, if she wanted to come in more Club Kitty, which it almost looks, she should have pushed it further.
Yeah.
She didn't push it enough.
Yeah, the concept is there. The execution falls short.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So those are our new queens for season 10.
Oh, God. That's a lot.
But you know what's back?
What's back?
The mini challenge.
The mini challenge.
You know what I love is that these episodes are all going to be 90 minutes. And I kind of loved it. I kind of thought that this episode didn't feel rushed.
No.
And for the fact that we had 14 queens, we got to spend a bit of time with everybody. And it felt a lot more natural than past seasons. I mean, besides season 6, which you got two big openings and they split the cast into two, which I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Because you got to almost have a little bonding of like each group versus just queens that knew each other. But considering how many of them are from New York, it didn't really matter. They were all going to know each other anyway.
Uh-huh.
But we do get the first mini challenge, and hopefully not last, of season 10.
Which I think is probably one of the greatest challenges they've ever done. Because it is... Oh, God. How can I put this? It's going to get really nerdy for a second. We went into the Avatar state of Drag Race, where we see these past contestants, the ones that really stand out, the ones that you want to see again.
And Porkchop.
And Porkchop.
I want to see Porkchop yeah, again.
I want to see a Porkchop on my plate for dinner, but that's about it.
We see them along this gorgeous runway that we've seen in the promos, and then the queens have to work the runway in like this ball type setting. Like, it gave me complete ball, and it was so great. Like, it was, for me, I think that was the most exciting part of this episode. Not to say that the rest of the episode was boring, but to see all these queens that I love, seeing all the queens that I love to hate, seeing them all there and just like these great drag, because nobody looked bad. Well,
call them out. Call them out by name. It's not going to be a season of somebody's.
Yeah.
Call them out by name. Did I just turn into the Vixen?
Yes. And okay, so here's what it is. Seeing everyone there, Manila looking amazing, Bob looking like Bob. Like, I was so there for everyone. You know, Kim Chi being his, you know, like goofy Kim Chi self. Holding Vanessa's like bridle, like no, bustle.
Yes.
I was like, is she a horse now?
No, yeah.
was Alyssa Edwards there? She doesn't show up until the next episode.
I know somebody who and I have like, you know, like fun times together. And I'm just like, oh, I didn't know you were into horse racing. And he's like, what? And because he has a poster of Alyssa Edwards on his wall. I'm just like, you know what? I shouldn't talk bad about her. You know, she did win the Kentucky Derby last year. I'm sorry. Alyssa Edwards is an amazing queen. But seeing Jinx Monsoon look like Elizabeth II on the way out, I'm like, what is this? What? You look... She looked terrible.
She did.
She looked terrible. She did. Like, I really wish... You know what? Cut in... Pat, do me a favor. Cut in Crystal LaBeija saying that she looks terrible. And then and then back it up with Aja for emphasis. Because she did. I'm sorry. She did.
But she wasn't looking beautiful tonight. She doesn't equal me. Look at her makeup. It's terrible.
None of the true beauties are going to be there.
Like, as soon as she showed up, I'm like, bitch, you won? This is what monsoon... You look like you've been through a monsoon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What the fuck? And I like Jinx. I do. But girl, you got the money. What happened? My God. But seeing
it makes me think of when Trixie does jokes about Jinx Monsoon
being a swamp monster.
A swamp witch. Swamp witch.
Trixie, did you tell people I was the swamp witch?
Then she flies off on a broom.
Yeah. I think this was the greatest thing they could have done that says, hey, Drag Race has come so far. Look at all of these amazing queens that have been brought to the forefront, that have brought you so much joy. You've talked about over the years, you've seen in person. Like, seeing all of them there was such a kind of like a healing experience. And then I saw Trixie, who deserves the win. Deserves the win there, and it all came back to me. When you hold me like this, when you touch me like that, I can seem to recall that it's all coming back to me.
No.
You know, a lot of queens, they were doing flips, they were doing somersaults. Some of them were giving you broken leg, which is the way I always walk down.
Mayhem did a cartwheel and a gown.
That was fucking awesome.
That was awesome.
Full gown. Full gown. Mm-hmm. And a cartwheel. And a good one, too.
Yes. You know, some queens looked a little shaky. I'm looking at you, Blair St. Clair.
What do you expect that little white 12-year-old to do on the runway? What do you expect her to do?
I feel like she's in the Little Miss Pageant. But, you know, I can see why Monet won, because she, you know, she played it up. She played it up, but Mayhem did a full cartwheel and a gown.
If anything, I wish they would have. And I don't know if they actually did deliberations, but it would have been interesting to hear RuPaul talking to all these experienced queens about the new queens and their performances.
Yeah, I feel like she just went with who she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, these queens were all just going off and being great and like catcalling and work, do a twirl for pretty much everybody.
My daughter! And that's when I'm like, son of a bitch, I look like a dumbass.
Listen, that's the same exact thing when we were watching it here. And Brian looks at me and he's like, I thought Monet was. I'm like, guess not.
No. But it was, I'm happy with the winner of that challenge, which was Monet.
There were two things that tickled me out of this challenge. The first was when Aquaria was doing her thing and she ended up accidentally slapping Jinx. And they cut to Trixie doing a confessional. And she's like, Roxy Andrews just jumped up in a gay bar somewhere and got her life because Jinx got slapped in the face. And then the other thing is that it used to feel like they would do these. It felt like they would do these promo photo shoots for the seasons after the season aired.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like they just work that into the season, because this is the same X-shaped runway and the same look on RuPaul from the reveal and the teaser trailer and all of this stuff. And it's like, oh, we're just going to shoot this promo and the first episode in the same day. We just got to get it all done at the same time. And last season, it was at the end, because in the final episode, RuPaul was wearing that really awkward silver spiky outfit.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so did they just have them all come back and we just going to do this? At least, I guess, Raven and Delta are only available at certain times. You got to do it at this point. Poor Matthew Anderson, wherever he is, because nobody knows. I still don't think anybody knows.
Willem probably knows.
Willem is like, Willem's like that one friend that Richard Simmons has.
Yes.
That says, he's okay. He's doing all right. He's resting comfortably. He's not dead. He's not being held captive by the Spanish maid.
If you really cared about him, you would just leave him alone.
But it tickled me that this RuPaul look and this X-shaped runway were in these teasers and the promo and were in the first challenge as well. So, but I agree, Oral. Monet as the winner did not make me mad at all.
No. Mm-mm. After the mini challenge, we go back to the workroom and we see that they have expanded the pit crew. For this episode. And I'm just like, ooh, everyone's just like, yes, I'll take all of you. I'll take all of you. But you could, you know, just everybody jump in the giant cart. You know, I'll Jack LaLanne strap it to my back and just, I'm just, you know, in my teeth and just pull myself. And this is the thing. So, you know, I agree with you, Pat, when you said that, you know, this episode had a chance to breathe because it was an hour and a half. And, you know, now we have, you know, the first big challenge, the maxi challenge, which is a throwback and literally the original challenge for episode one of Drag Race, which is Drag on a Dime. I thought this feels organic. This is what All Stars was missing. You know, you can pay homage to things and not shove it down our throats. So knowing that, you know, we've come so far, but we still know our roots. Here's the challenge. Make it work. Make it work.
And they gave plenty of camera time to them doing the challenge in the workroom, which I appreciated a lot.
Yeah, it's nice to actually get to see the queens doing what they're doing and seeing these outfits being prepared and talking and not having it be like 3 seconds of this and now this happens and now we're on the runway. Yeah, this 90-minute format definitely was a good change for them this time around.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So they make their outfits. There's something that goes on in the workroom. This one was a relatively drama-free episode. It was kind of nice to see them all just get to know each other and kind of get acclimated to this crazy situation.
Yeah.
And I think we can just go right into the runway.
Yeah, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it to the runway. Runway. Bring it to the runway. Runway.
Category is?
Category is RuPaul Medley.
I heard more RuPaul songs in this episode than I think I ever have in my life.
Yeah, and I really liked it because, you know, it shows you that this takes a while. You know, let's not pretend. We're not going to just keep playing the same song on loop, especially because we've got 14 fucking queens.
Absolutely.
So
let's talk about standouts. Good, yes. Or good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of queens and we don't need to sit there and dissect everybody.
I think what stood out for me in a good way, even though she got dinged for it, Dusty Ray Bottoms, I thought looked really good, but she was giving me like Tin Man meets like minstrel clown. Not in like a bad way. Like a Parisian clown.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, yes, we know it's a cone. You know what? Had she not done like a traffic cone and did like a cone, like a conical cone.
If she had cut the square off the bottom and just had the actual cone, I think it would have worked. But I kind of liked it as the Tin Man look.
Yeah, I did. I did as well.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at that look. And I'm glad she was safe. But it kind of sucked that she was that low for the challenge.
Agreed.
I loved Monique Hart's outfit.
Yes. Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, the Queen of Hearts thing, the cards, that was, you know, whatever. Like, it was a great look. I mean, it wasn't the top of everything for me. What I absolutely loved was that wig.
Yes, yeah. Making the wig out of the plastic.
That was sick. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. It brought everything together. It gave me Queen of Hearts without giving me full Alice in Wonderland, which is hard to do. It, for me, it stood apart, And that should be rewarded. And unfortunately, when you have so many queens, and, you know, a lot of these looks were really, really good, you know, unless you did something really, really out the box. And I keep, you know, doing doublespeak because you have to. Like, you have to wow these judges, especially in the beginning, because that may save you. And, you know, when the judges talk about their critiques, it's like, I want to see more. When they say, I want to see more, you know that bitch is safe, one. And two, you mean, you know they made an impression. And I think if it was later on in the season, it may have won just on looks alone. But it was very sparse as well. And I think that might have been a ding.
Yeah, I can see that. I think my favorite was Miss Cracker. Even though I've kind of seen something similar done with straw hats before in Project Runway, not necessarily on RuPaul's Drag Race, but I really liked the form she got for the vest top thing.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm still mad about her not having contouring on the chest.
Yeah.
Because it is so boy chest. That I would have liked a little bit of that, just a subtle one, but I do agree that was probably one of the best looks, and she missed out just, I think, by a hair on being the winner of the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not like Monet's look.
You didn't?
I didn't. I wanted to, and I think it's because the face wasn't glamour enough for me. Independent of what, like, the pieces that she put together for this conceptual look, I liked every aspect of it. You know, the bubbles, you know, the dirt, and the top of the dress, yes. But then it just became so plain once it moved, like, halfway through the hip. And I didn't care. But it was there. It was so close. And I think, had she done something to kind of, like, make it, in, like, an even flow, I would have been about it. But it lacked something for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, she either ran out of time and wasn't able to get the sponges all the way down to the floor, or she ran out of sponges themselves to fully cover the bottom of the
dress.
Yeah,
I think had she done form-fitting, like she did, but sponges all the way down, you're right, I would have been okay.
Either that, or I could see the concept working by just making, like, a top with the covered in the sponges,
mm-hmm.
and then you could have continued the whole story and made, like, a blue skirt out of something to symbolize,
like, bubbles,
the water.
Like,
yeah.
Something clear.
Yeah.
I think that I would have dug that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's concept is great, execution just fell short. And it probably was a time thing, because, I mean, she was cutting those sponges into pieces, and that takes a while, and then you gotta glue that shit on.
Yeah.
I did not love Vanessa's outfit.
No.
No.
And I was so excited to hear the critique of her looking round.
Yeah.
Because when she walked out onto that runway and was working the runway, that's all I thought was, why does this not have some sort of cinching, have form to it? All I'm getting is a ball walking down the runway. And she's not tall. So it's even mm-hmm. more of a challenge to have shape and have length and form when you're short. And it just, I was not a fan of that outfit at all.
No. In conjunction with the makeup, it fell, I was going to say flat, but it fell round to me.
Oh. Yeah, and I just didn't understand how the Barbie dolls tied into the outfit.
I didn't mind that part.
I think there would have been a better way to use the Barbie dolls.
Less would have been more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
less
absolutely.
Less would have been more. I didn't like Calorie's look because it had been done so well
mm-hmm.
in three other iterations, and she got told, don't do this, bitch. Don't do it. because it didn't look finished, as opposed to Yuha, who did something that we'd seen before, but it was done so well that, you know, yeah, we've seen it before, but girl, this is gorgeous and we love it.
Yeah.
We don't love it, but we love it enough to make sure that you're safe. And that's it's the difference. It's the same thing. It's just the level of execution, because it looks so unfinished, it was gonna hurt her.
Absolutely. Ankh.
Yeah.
Although I didn't understand how she could have created an Ankh on her head and then not know what an Ankh was.
You know, a lot of queens have done things that they didn't know what they were called. They didn't know what they looked like. They just know that they have seen that shape before. And it was going to work.
Fair point.
So our winner is one we have not talked about.
Yes.
And that was Ms. Mayhem Miller, who took plastic gloves, rubber gloves, who took rubber gloves and trash bags and turned it into one hell of an outfit. I loved it. Like, that was awesome.
She did. Seeing Mayhem take like a concept and make it look so elegant, like I could see that at a leather ball, like, you know, like, oh, she's the, you know, the MC of the night, and she wore that and everyone was like, yeah, I love this is great. It was so well executed that while other things looked dynamic because there were multiple colors, this, that, and the other,
right,
it was, once again, understated, but the material she used, the way she used it, the fascinator for the head, it all came together. And she deserved to win.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. Our bottom two, we have mentioned, were Kalori Kardashian-Williams and Vanessa Vanjie Matteo.
Seeing how much they both want it, because you never want to. You can be the second queen to go home, and that's not as bad. But to be the first one to get the boot,
yeah,
it's rough. It devastates you.
I can imagine. But there's a little part of me that's like, if I want to be cut, I kind of want to be first. Because everybody remembers the first queen. Like, there's a whole club for this. Yeah. If you like the third, fourth, fifth queen to go, who remembers you? Unless you do something really spectacular in those couple of episodes, you kind of fade out. Because those are your queens that are good, but not that good.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
You either need to be really bad that you get cut first, or you need to be really good and make it all the way through.
As much as I like their personalities, they both, I can see why they were in the bottom.
Yes.
Then you have the lip sync to what song again was it?
Ain't no other man but you. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Oh, yeah, because the gag is pheromone shows up, but it's actually Christina Aguilera. But can I tell you, as soon as Christina started to do her runs,
her one note that they were able to afford?
Oh, yeah. All I could think of was Got to Be Real. Hey! Hey! Yeah! Yeah! Oh! And she did it. And it was exactly that. And if you've never experienced the joy that is the Diva reality show, which is cold clips from interviews and TMZ of the Diva reality show that has got to be real, do yourself a favor. Start from the beginning. You could watch it all in a night and you will laugh hysterically. Hysterically. That's why sometimes I say, how about you come over to my house for creme brulee and cigarettes? Whitney, are you team class or team sass? I'm team Jesus. Soldiers for Christ.
We have to put that on the list.
Yeah. Oh my God. But Christina, you know, it's good to see her there. You know, it's funny that she's pheromone, because pheromone is Christina Aguilera.
Well, and there's actually, Farrah tweeted out, they actually brought pheromone to the set that day and had her meet Christina Aguilera. And I was like, that's really kind of adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nobody told me I put on too much highlighter.
Why would we, girl? We in a competition.
You let me walk out there in this dress?
Oh, calm down, Alexis.
But seeing both of them in the bottom two, it reminds me of that episode in Drag Race where you are literally doing the song in front of the person, and you need, if you are doing This Will Be and Natalie Cole is in front of you, you take it, you play it to the hilt, you take them bitches to church. And seeing Vanessa do this, like, understated, ain't no other man, like, no, girl, that's not, you gotta step it up. And when I saw Calorie perform, she played it to the hilt, and she took them to church. One of them freewheeling churches, yes. Because, you know, I grew up a good Southern Baptist girl.
I ain't been to one of those churches before.
But she was entertaining. She was engaging. She was that wow factor that saved her. Because, surprise, she won.
Which was a surprise, honestly. When they were announced at the bottom two, I was standing at the bar, and I literally was like, goodbye, Calorie. We hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
And then the lip sync started. And I'll say this. I didn't love the lip sync in the first half.
No.
Because both of them were just struggling. I think more to find how to do it in this kind of situation. Because you are just a bundle of nerves. And you don't want to go home. You've worked hard to get to this point. But when Calorie was doing the Carlton at one point, I was like, what are you doing? And Vanessa's just, I don't know what she was doing at all. And then it got to the second half of what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And Calorie, I think, found a groove and ran it.
Yeah.
And when she pulled them dollars out of her titties, threw them in the air, and made it rain into it. She made it rain on herself into her jump split.
Yes.
I was like, I literally looked at the people that were standing around me. I was like, oh, she might not be leaving now.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. And I was impressed.
But what I will say is this. If you have a gag up your sleeve, make sure you can do it in a split second's notice.
Yeah, because
she had to work for them dollars. As somebody who used to be a big girl, who's still kind of big, you didn't need to tuck them in there that deep. You know you didn't, girl. You know you didn't. And that's not, because, you know, I'd fuck the shit out of Calorie. I would. But no, you need to dig them out. I think here's the problem. When I remember the way that we touch, and I wish I didn't like it so much, you can slow it down and pull that wig up and the rose petals will fall out. You can bam. But when you need to make it rain on yourself, bitch, make it rain. It is an instant downpour. It catches you off guard. You ain't got no umbrella. You lucky if you had a paper in your hand and you put it over your head because you know you just got it done. And you're running to the first awning, the first cafe, the first Winn-Dixie, which you're going to be running for a while because they're closing left and right. You gotta do something. And that's the thing, is that when you can see the gag a mile away, it's not a gag. It saved you, yes. But it's not a gag. A gag is you choking. You choke just out of the blue. That I'm just like, oh, she gonna make it. I know what she gonna do.
Yeah.
It's gonna look cute, but she didn't do it fast enough. But hey, bitch, you pulled it out in the end. And that's really all that matters. I ain't on Drag Race yet. Don't worry, I got two drag mothers. They're lesbians. They friendly. You know what? They're amicable. They both. Shout out, I'll tell you who. Shout out to my two drag mamas. I'm going to need your help because, you know, I can't go out there looking any which way. You know, I get the looks from one because, you know, I favor her a little. Not really. And then my mouth comes from the other one. And that's, you know, together, I'll win. And then when someone tells me that the only reason why you on Drag Race is because somebody helped you get here. But, bitch, I'm still here. And what? We're in the top five, and bitch, what? They here with me? Do you see some earbuds in here? No, ho. Don't be jealous of my boogie on iTunes. Ding. See, that's why I need to step my pussy up. Well, that's why I need to tuck so I have one. And then Wild Turkey, brought to you by Ron.
So that was the episode, but we were also treated to the return to television of Untucked.
Yes. Wait, no, has it ever been on television?
Yeah.
See, I always just watch it on YouTube.
It used to be on Logo. Yeah. A couple seasons right after that.
Remember when Logo used to be on TV?
Oh. Up until season 6, it was a secondary show. And then season 7, 8, and 9, it moved to YouTube. Because we used to have the big pink furry box and the Interior Illusions Lounge and the Gold Room. And that's where those pictures of RuPaul came from. They were all from the old Untucked studio. There wasn't much to it that was kind of out of the ordinary, except for the vixen.
Who won? You need to give me more fun noodles. Because those, you put on like 8 pool noodles. You literally X-Acto knifed some shit out, strapped it to you, and walked. Someone said it's giving you like Carnival. I'm like, bitch, nobody would let you walk in mass looking like that. My people have standards, thank you. Not when it comes to men. Side note, there's a meme that is like when God created Caribbean men, and it's the beginning of the Powerpuff Girls, where it's Professor Plutonium, and it goes, lying, cheating, not being worth shit. Like, it is just... What do you think of Caribbean men? I'm like, yep. But no, the vixen is ready to stir the pot, and it's not even like a good pot yet. If you're gonna stir the pot, at least make it some oxtails, not some random ass bland ass chicken and dumplings. Not even like good chicken and dumplings, like Cracker Barrel at the end of the shift chicken and dumplings, not the fresh one that still has the grease and the butter sitting on top.
So that concludes episode 1.
We did it.
It's season 10.
Oh, season 10. 10. 10s across the board. Oh, wait a minute. If you want to understand the depths of Drag Race, especially this season, for the love of God, if you haven't done so, watch Paris is Burning.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Also, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, is also on Netflix.
Which you found out because Bobby posted about it.
Oh, my God. It is everything, not everything about drag, but so much of drag comes out of ball culture. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get a richer viewing experience from Drag Race, just watch it. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It'll change your eye. Also, which brings me back, this had a point. Don't worry. I may have fallen off the train, but I found that old seesaw one rail car where you go up and down and you kind of catch up. Vanessa giving you like Banji, like that's Banji. Like she was giving you Venus Extravaganza, but like Venus wasn't, how can I put this delicately, because I still want to have sex with you. If Venus didn't have all of the quotable quotes, you know, she has a mother who always took care of her, make sure I had some place to stay, make sure she had something. Because, you know, I could see Vanessa say, imagine if you were a woman and you want a washer and dryer shut. Like, she was giving me that. So if you want to see where Vanessa comes from, watch Paris is Burning.
I like OG. It. Mm-hmm. I still don't love Vanessa, but I like it.
Yeah. So, listeners, thank you. We're going to take a small break.
Much to the chagrin of one fan out there, in particular, because I'm going to call him out by name. I know there's more people listening to this. I see the numbers. We get some good listens. But I ran into Zach last night. Zach Deere.
Oh, hey, Zach.
And one of the first things out of his mouth was, I love the Rucaps, and you were so right. And then I stopped listening because I just heard I was right. No. Now, we were talking about the finale recap, and there were some points about like BB and some of the stuff that he was commenting on. Mm-hmm. And he was just saying how much he's enjoyed listening to the recaps over the last 8 weeks.
Thank you, Zach. Zach is someone I aspire to be. Good luck in your competition. I want you to bring home the title. Bring it home, hun. I owe you a drink. Not just because I owe you a drink. Like, I want to hang out with you. I want to drink some more. Also, shout out to Alex and his boo thing, Sky. Hey, Sky. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to give you like a Banji version of your name. They're listeners and patrons of the store. Thank you for helping me make my goals today.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So you can follow us on Facebook. You just search Flame On. We're there. You can find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast. We're also on the Grams. We're on the Grams. I was told by a cute boy and then another cute boy, and a cute girl. Not that she a baby, but, you know, I see her grow up. She's like, she handed me her phone and she's like, you know, put it in. And I'm like, what am I putting in? She's like, your Instagram. And I'm like, wait, oh, girl, I ain't got that. You young people today. So you can follow us on Instagram. Also, if you want to listen to us, which you're doing right now, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Podchaser. You can give us star reviews. Please do. Every little bit helps. You know, like us, review us, share us on all platforms at Flame On Podcast on Twitter. And if you would like, I muted my tongue.
I love it. No, you did a good job.
If you would like to support the Nerdy Show Network, you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and help us out. All dollars are appreciated. But if you want to earmark dollars for us, and specifically us, you can totally do that. It really makes a difference. You guys don't know. So, with that, this has been Drag is the New Spandex Recap Edition. We'll take a slight hiatus. I promise you, it'll be a slight hiatus. But we need a break. We need a break. It's not even a real break because we're always putting out content. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to brunch, and then the only reason why I'm still somewhat sober, contrary to popular belief and opinion at the moment, is because I had to work today, which threw everything out of whack. So we will be back. I promise you that. We'll know all the queens. We'll say the highs and lows of the season up to that point. You can totally listen to the full cast recording that's come out or is coming out at that point. It's coming out. There we go. It has been great. Later, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.